This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofetim, chapter 17. The last five chapters of the book of Shofetim are a kind of concluding section of the text. The fact that there is no king in Israel is mentioned four times over the last five chapters of the book of Shofetim, twice in each of the last two stories. This is obviously an indication that the absence of a king in Israel is the underlying cause of many of the problems we're going to read about in what is to come. The upcoming stories present us with a picture of the Jewish people at their lowest spiritual point, a complete breakdown of Jewish religious worship and its mixture with paganism, as well as a complete loss of any sense of morality or decency in the Jewish nation. Both of these phenomena are apparently to be traced back, or the prophetic message is that we should trace them back to the fact that there's no king in Israel. There's a lack of a central authority to guide and direct them, and therefore the Jews become subject to the influence of the culture around them that seems authoritative and overpowers them because of the temptation, the natural temptation, to assimilate. This chapter is the first half of a famous story called Pesel Micha, the graven image of Micha. Micha lives in Har Ephraim. His mother had put away a significant amount of money, 1,100 pieces of silver, which happens to be the same amount of money that Delilah was offered to turn Shimshon in, or to reveal Shimshon's secret. His mother finds this money missing, and she curses whoever it was that misappropriated the funds. It turns out that Micha was the one who took the money. He admits this. He confesses it to his mother. It's not clear whether Micha committed a crime against his mother and had stolen the money, or whether he had merely put the money in a different place and he was coming to tell her that he had been the one who moved it. Either way, she regrets the curses that she unwittingly heaped upon him, and reassures him that he is blessed to Hashem, and that in reality she has dedicated these funds in honor of Hashem. Now, the irony is that she's actually dedicated and consecrated this money to become a graven image, to become an idol, and yet she considers that dedication to Hashem. Sponsored by his mother's generous donation, Micha establishes a so-called house of God at his home. This includes various items typically associated with pagan religion, teraphim, or statues, and an ephod, which is some kind of also ritual garment of some sort. Both of these serve some kind of fortune-telling function or superstitious function in a temple of idolatry. He appoints one of his sons to serve as officiant in the new sanctuary. One day, a Levite from Beit Lechem, one of the Levi'im, is passing through the area and visits the house of Micha. Micha is very enthusiastic about his presence and invites this Levi to become a Kohen, to serve as Kohen in his temple. He offers the Levi a handsome salary, a new wardrobe, a stipend for food and other necessities. The Levi accepts the deal, and Micha feels quite blessed that Hashem has brought him a real priest, a Levi, to lead services in his home sanctuary. Now, clearly, there's a whole bunch of irony mixed into this story. Micha and his mother see no contradiction between pagan worship and idolatry on the one hand and service of Hashem on the other hand. They combine the two of them in a house of God, which to us as Jewish readers is a very ungodly house. The Levi, who's supposed to be a representative of Hashem, the Levi'im were the ones who always voiced opposition to idolatry. They were the ones who always stood up for the truth. They were the ones who always represented the Torah and taught the Torah to Israel. Yet rather than rebuking the family of Micha for this wayward behavior, he comes along as a mercenary who's willing to sell his religious services to the highest bidder. The tale of Pesel Micha illustrates to us the extent to which living among the Gentiles has influenced and distorted the Judaism of the Jews, even among the purported spiritual leaders. It seems like even the Levi'im, who historically had been the ones to stand up for Hashem and to stand up for Torah, have now themselves fallen victim to the allure of paganism and materialism. This is starkly revealed to us in the story of Pesel Micha, which has only just begun, the conclusion of which we will read in tomorrow's chapter.